Thanksgiving is not just a duty, it's a way of life, and it's based on worship, as we'll discuss next on Gospel of Life. Hello, I'm Reverend Frank Pavone, Director of Gospel of Life Ministries. Welcome to our program. As usual, we have Janet Morana, our Associate Director, with us. And Janet, our nation is celebrating the Feast of Thanksgiving. It's a time to reflect on not only counting our blessings, but on the God who gave us those blessings.
That's right. And, you know, it's very easy to get caught up in the food and the friends and the family and the gathering. And I've been to, you know, seen a lot of celebrations where they don't even thank the Lord for the meal set before them. And so we really need to think even more so this year, what is this holiday about? It's not just a holiday. It's not just about a feast and wonderful food. But it's really giving thanks for all we have as a nation, and then in your own church family, and then in your own family, what God has given us.
And those who founded our nation understood that very well. God was at the center of their lives. He was at the center of their thoughts. He's acknowledged 4 times in our Declaration of Independence, and it's His providence that gave this nation its beginnings. It's His providence that guides it on its way. It's that providence that provides the basis for our Thanksgiving.
Well, I know recently, Father, you had the opportunity to preach on this very subject of Thanksgiving, counting our blessings. So let's take a look at that preaching you did recently.
My brothers and sisters in the Lord, today, as we celebrate Thanksgiving, as we continue in the spirit of festive gratitude to the Lord, let's listen to the words of St. Paul as he brings them to us in the letter to the Ephesians in chapter 5. Paul begins to say in verse 18, "Do not get drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with all your heart, always and in everything, giving thanks in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God the Father." Hence we read Ephesians 5:19-20. The Lord has given us every spiritual blessing in the heavens. That's the spirit, that's the awareness with which we celebrate the Feast of Thanksgiving. That in Jesus Christ, we see the fullness of God. God has given us everything He can possibly give. He has told us everything He can possibly tell us, short of the second coming of His Son. He has given us all the means of salvation, all the grace and the truth we need to live in this life in a way that's pleasing to God, and not only individually, but together to come to life eternal. So when we talk about thanksgiving, when we talk about why we are to give thanks to God, we begin by recognizing that what we have is far more than we're even capable of realizing. Every spiritual blessing in the heavens. And that's why Paul is so clear here about not just our duty to give thanks. Brothers and sisters, to give thanks for us as Christians is a natural outcome of the truths that we profess. It's our way of life. Because we are so overwhelmed with the generosity of God, with the goodness of God, with the blessings that God has given us in Jesus Christ. That's the starting point. When we think about Thanksgiving, we can think about the many different individual blessings that we have to be thankful for, aside from the ones we just mentioned, salvation itself. And we can think of this in comparison with, of course, all the people that don't have as much. We can think of the health that God has given us. And as life goes on, you appreciate your health more and more as you recognize how fragile it really is. Our freedom, the fact that we live in a nation where we can elect our leaders, where we can address the grievances against the government, and we can have a voice when there are injustices to which we object. A place where we can have interaction and freedom of travel. A place where we live where we can turn on the faucet and have clean water. There are so many blessings that we take for granted, and that a day and a season of Thanksgiving invites us to reflect on quite explicitly, to literally count the blessings that otherwise, if we didn't pause and give thanks, we might take for granted. Giving thanks is a way of life that comes from the awareness of what God has done for us in Christ. And that's why Scripture presents it as an obligation. But let's look at something about giving thanks that's even deeper than what I've said so far. Brothers and sisters, giving thanks ultimately is worship. It's worship of God. Let's look, for instance, at two scripture passages. First of all, we're all familiar with the book of Job. Job is a lesson in giving thanks, even under tremendous suffering, because you realize what Paul said to us in the Ephesians. Let me just go back to one phrase here. He said, always and for everything, give thanks. Not just for the good things that we have, but always and for everything. In other words, as one of the Psalms says, I will praise the Lord no matter what happens. And this, again, connects Thanksgiving to worship. Because is there any time of the day, is there any circumstance of life, is there any season of our journey through this world when we are not to be worshiping the Lord? Of course there isn't. Worshiping the Lord is the very substance of our existence. There's never a time when we're not worshiping the Lord and when we're not called to worship the Lord. And so Paul says, give thanks always and for everything. No matter what happens, we're praising the Lord. Why? Because we realize that no matter what happens, we have access to Him. Nothing can take that away from us. Job teaches us that lesson. Well, let's maybe read, to refresh our memory, from the first chapter of Job, that Satan came into God's presence, asked if he could tempt Job, if he could test him, if he could give him all kinds of trials. And in verse 13 we read, now there was a day when his sons and daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house, and there came a messenger to Job. And he said, the oxen were plowing, and the asses feeding beside them, and the Sabaeans fell upon them and took them and slew the servants with the edge of the sword. I alone have escaped to tell you. While he was yet speaking, there came another and said, the fire of God fell from heaven and burned up the sheep and the servants and consumed them, and I alone have escaped to tell you. And while he was yet speaking, there came another and said, the Chaldeans formed three companies, made a raid upon the camels, took them and slew the servants with the edge of the sword, and I alone have escaped to tell you. While he was yet speaking, there came another and said, your sons and daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. And behold, a great wind came across the wilderness, struck the four corners of the house, and it fell upon the young people, and they are dead. And I alone have escaped to tell you. So in other words, calamity after calamity, one moment after the next, befell Job all in one day. And what did he do? We read in verse 20, Job arose, rent his robe and shaved his head, and fell down upon the ground and worshiped. There's the point. Always and in everything, worship. Always and in everything, give thanks. And what does this mean? Always and in everything acknowledge that there is one who has dominion over human life, and it is Almighty God. There is one who is Lord of everything that happens, and it is Almighty God. When our nation was founded, it was founded on a direct, explicit acknowledgement of the providence of God. That doesn't mean just that, well, God will see us through and help us accomplish our goals. That means not a sparrow falls to the ground, not a leaf falls off a tree, not a drop of water splashes up against a rock on the seashore, that God doesn't know about it. And taking all things into account, He rules the universe from one end of eternity to the other. That's what it means. And therefore, this inspires in us trust. And so Job says, the famous verse, in verse 21, naked I came forth from my mother's womb, naked I shall return. The Lord has given, the Lord has taken away. blessed be the name of the Lord. And then, of course, Job's trials intensify. And as we read in verse 7, Satan afflicted Job with loathsome sores from the sole of his foot to the crown of his head. And still, Job did not sin with his lips. And as he endured these trials faithfully, we read at the very end of the book of Job, chapter 42, verse 10, the Lord restored the fortunes of Job and gave him twice as much as he had before. Now, there's a similar lesson that comes to us from King David. You know, David committed the terrible sin of murder and adultery. He was attracted to Bathsheba, the wife of Uriah. He had Uriah killed. He conceived a child with Bathsheba. But then we read in 2 Samuel chapter 12, these words, "The Lord struck the child that Uriah's wife bore to David, and the child became sick. David, therefore, besought God for the child. He prayed that he might recover. David fasted. He went in and lay all night upon the ground, and the elders of the house stood beside him to raise him from the ground, but he would not, nor would he eat food with them." So David is in intense intercession for this child. On the seventh day, the child died. The servants of David feared to tell him that the child was dead, because they said, "Behold, while the child was yet alive, we spoke to him, and he did not listen to us. How then can we tell him the child is dead? He may do himself some harm." But David heard the servants whispering together and said to the servants, "Is the child dead?" And they said, "He is dead." But then listen in verse 20 what David does next. "He arose from the earth, he washed and anointed himself, he changed his clothes, he went into the house of the Lord, and he worshiped." He did the same thing Job did. And that's the foundation of what Paul says we should do. No matter what happens, give thanks to the Lord. You know why, brothers and sisters? Because no matter what happens, it begins and it ends. There's one thing that endures: eternal life. The eternal life which we possess starting now, and which we will possess not just individually, one-on-one with God, but together as a community, and as an entire universe renewed in Christ, we will possess forever. When we can give thanks from this point of view, we can also understand something else about the life of thanksgiving. Not just the duty of thanksgiving, the lifestyle of thanksgiving. And it's this: that we give thanks for life by defending life. We give thanks for this fundamental gift that we have, which is at the foundation of everything else, including the foundation of life eternal, because we can't have life eternal unless we have life in the first place. We give thanks for this gift precisely by defending it, because there are so many who, unlike us, are not protected in the very fundamental right of our life itself. They're not protected, and of course, that group of people who are least protected in our society are the children still in the womb. And that's why this ministry exists. That's why our preaching continues, focused always on the fundamental tragedy that we face in our society, and that is the ongoing killing of children in the womb. Now, if we are giving thanks to God for everything that we are and that we have, beginning with life itself, we translate that thanksgiving, which, as I've outlined here, is based on worship, which in turn is based on the fact that God has dominion over every human life. We turn to that same God and we say, "Lord, because these lives belong to you, I am going to defend them as part of my worship to you. Because these children belong to you, I'm going to speak up for them precisely because, Lord, I speak up for you." Because of the fact that what is being torn apart in the abortion clinics throughout our country is in fact the property of God alone, not of that mother or father or doctor or of the state, but of God alone. Therefore, in my love for that one and only God, I'm going to intervene to save these children. And so, brothers and sisters, all the pro-life work that you do, of whatever kind it is, the speaking, the writing, the educating, the voting, the intervening, the praying, the picketing, the sidewalk counseling, all of the pro-life activity that you do is an expression of this thanksgiving, this worship, this lifestyle that we have in Jesus Christ. It's not something that's added on top of it. It's not something that is extracurricular activities that we do only if we want. It's demanded by our life in Christ. And that's why, as our nation pauses to give thanks to Almighty God, I also give thanks for you and for the work you do to defend the most fundamental gift and right that we have. Lord, following the instruction of St. Paul, may we give thanks to you always and for everything. Amen. Yes, friends, we give thanks to the Lord in good times and in bad. No matter what happens to us, we praise his name. And that, of course, Janet, is the foundation of happiness, that we realize that no matter if the world is falling apart around us, that we always have access to God. Nobody can ever take that away from us.
That's right. And I hope, you know, after hearing your words, that people are really inspired now to say and reflect, this Thanksgiving, how are we going to make that celebration with our family even more of a celebration of really thanking the Lord? You know, like I said, very often we get swept up in the more the secular, you know, having all the little candy turkeys and all the parades and all that. But what are we going to do at our Thanksgiving meal? In addition to maybe a prayer, are we going to have a scripture reading? What are we going to do with our family to set the tone of that day?
We have a prayer campaign website, prayercampaign.org, that people can go to. And prior to special days and in special seasons, we have prayers that connect those seasons with the theme of life and the sanctity of life, as we also reflected on in this homily. So we invite people to go to prayercampaign.org, and that could be a good prayer that they say together with their families on these special occasions.
That's right. Well, I hope people do that, and I hope everyone has a blessed Thanksgiving and a wonderful one with their family, but keeping God first.
And friends, for those of you who are preachers or if you teach the faith or write about it in any way, if you go to our website, gospelofliife.com, you'll also find during these days links to special resources about Thanksgiving, then reflections that you can use as you inspire others to be faithful in their walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. And as far as pro-life activities are concerned, we always have ideas for things that you can do in the pro-life movement as a way of expressing your thanks for the gift of life to defend the lives of our brothers and sisters killed by abortion at the rate of some 4,000 a day in our country alone. So go to gospelofliife.com to see ideas, too, about pro-life activities you can undertake. Now stay with us for our action segment.
There is a crisis in America, a Holocaust that takes the lives of more than 3,000 children every day through the horrific act of abortion. Yet despite this tragic loss, we are gaining victory over this culture of death. In the last 12 years, half of the nation's freestanding abortion clinics have closed, and the abortion industry is on the run. Gospel of Life Ministries has played a vital role in the rescue of countless children and is currently in place to save thousands more. But we urgently need your support to make this happen. Not everyone can be on the front line of this battle, but when you support Gospel of Life, you are saving lives. Your life-saving gift of $25, $50, or $100 will help us provide alternatives to women who think they have no choice but abortion. And for those countless women who have lost children to abortion, Gospel of Life Ministries will help them find forgiveness, healing, and peace in the cross of Christ and become outspoken advocates for the lives of their unborn children. The help you provide will also bring the saving word of life to churches through a training program that is raising a mass voice that will see abortion stopped. With your gift of $25, we'll send you the booklet, Pro-Life, Today and Always. It will give you an overview of why we are pro-life and provide reflections that will stir and motivate you to action. With your gift of $50, we'll also send you the DVD, The Procedure. In this powerful DVD, you'll hear abortionists discuss the procedure in their own words and unmask the violence that the abortion industry tries to hide. And when you give a gift of $100, we'll also include the book, Forbidden Grief. This compelling book will open your eyes to the psychological damage done to those who have had an abortion experience. Please call, write, or make your gift online today.
Friends, welcome to our action segment. There are people in your community who are experts at saving lives, and they need your help. Janet, we're talking about the pregnancy resource centers across America, thousands of them, geared especially to reaching out to those who feel they have to have an abortion and giving them the hope and the strength and the resources they need to realize they don't have to have an abortion.
That's right. And, you know, very often people don't even know what services the Pregnancy Center provides. And our recommendation, first of all, is for our viewers to find and locate the nearest pregnancy center to their home. And they can that by simply going to a simple website called pregnancycenters.org.
Pregnancycenters.org. What we are asking our viewers to do is go there. Log into the website. Go and see and look up. There's a way that you can just put in a zip code find the places nearest to you, right?
Yes.
To know, there's several things going on here at once. If you know the resources closest to you, then you can publicize them.
That's right.
You're to your email list, on your website, in your newsletter, in your parish, in your group, or to someone that you might be talking to who might need that help. But then not only publicize the existence of those places, but go there and learn about it and see what kind of help they need.
And that's the most important part, because I think more people would speak up in a louder voice if they heard of a neighbor or someone in their church family or a friend who was pregnant and needed help, if they really knew firsthand what, you know, it's very hard to recommend something if you haven't tried it out yourself
or
investigated
into it. You go firsthand, you actually see, you meet the people, and then you can say to others, oh, those people there are really nice.
Really,
you know, instead of just say, oh, there's a pregnancy resource center. Oh, yeah, and I've never been there. I don't know what they're like. No.
I think they can help you.
You need to know what they're like.
You know they can help you. Exactly.
Yes.
And so, for example, when you go to visit, you'll see that many of the pregnancy centers can give a free pregnancy test. Mm-hmm. A lot of them have the ability to give a free ultrasound test to really do what they call a diagnosis of pregnancy, because we know a lot of women think they're pregnant and sometimes get a false diagnosis. If they go to an abortion clinic like Planned Parenthood, they might end up having an abortion anyway.
Well, these pregnancy resource centers, so many of them are becoming medical clinics.
That's right.
So that they can diagnose. But also, you know, I mean, they provide confidential counseling. They provide, for material resources. They may provide references to, somebody needs a job or they need an educational opportunity.
Right.
The whole range of needs, in other words, taken care of.
And, you know, very often the pregnancy centers work with the social services in that community that maybe you're not aware of what the local government will provide for you. So they actually connect them to all that also.
One thing we also find that is unfortunate, we've got to come against, is this idea that, oh, yes, I'll work with the local pregnancy center as long as they're my religion.
Yeah.
Now, hold on a second. We're talking about something here that's very basic. It's the saving of life. And the example of the emergency medical team.
That's right.
Coming to your door. If you have a relative who has a medical emergency.
Right.
You call the emergency medical team. They arrive at your house. You don't stop them at the front door and say, what denomination are you?
Right.
And only let them in if they're your denomination. No. You let them in
to
save the life. Now, if we're willing to work across the denominational lines to save the lives of our own relatives, how come we're not willing to do so to save the lives of somebody else's children?
Right.
We have got to look at this as the primary, most fundamental, urgent need is that we work together across these denominational lines. Catholics shouldn't just work with the centers that are Catholic. Evangelicals shouldn't just work with the centers that are evangelical. The primary purpose is to save lives. Once that child's life is saved, you got the whole lifetime to talk to them about the different denominations.
That's right. And again, you know, pastors, if you haven't visited your local pregnancy center, you really need to, because then you'll be more confident to promote that hotline number, which is 1-800-395-HELP, which will connect you to those centers.
That's the phone number that corresponds to the pregnancycenters.org website, yes. Well, friends, very simple, very powerful action item. Please do so and let us know the results. We love to hear from you at Gospel of Life. Go to gospellife.com. Let us know that you visited your pregnancy center and all the good things that result. Thanks for watching. Join us again next week.
You are looking at the face of an unborn child, 25 and a half weeks into pregnancy. This child can be legally killed by abortion in America. As this ad from the Yellow Pages proves, some abortion clinics sell abortions up to 28 weeks. Abortion kills living children whose hearts are beating and whose bodily organs are all in place. Abortion. Haven't we gone too far?
There is a crisis in America, a Holocaust that takes the lives of more than 3,000 children every day through the horrific act of abortion. Yet despite this tragic loss, we are gaining victory over this culture of death. With your gift of $25, we'll send you the booklet, Pro-Life, Today and Always. It will give you an overview of why we are pro-life and provide reflections that will stir and motivate you to action. With your gift of $50, we'll also send you the DVD, The Procedure. In this powerful DVD, you'll hear abortionists discuss the procedure in their own words and unmask the violence that the abortion industry tries to hide. And when you give a gift of $100, we'll also include the book, Forbidden Grief. This compelling book will open your eyes to the psychological damage done to those who have had an abortion experience. Please call, write, or make your gift online today. Father Frank A. Pavone, director of Gospel of Life Ministries, is an internationally known pro-life activist, speaker, and author. He has been the national director of Priests for Life since 1993 and appears regularly in the religious and secular media. He has served at the Vatican's Pontifical Council for the Family. He has been a spiritual guide for Norma McCorvey, the former Jane Roe of the Supreme Court's abortion decision, Roe v. Wade. Father Frank is president of the National Pro-Life Religious Council, an umbrella group of many denominations working to end abortion. Father Frank is also the national pastoral director and board chairman of Rachel's Vineyard, the world's largest ministry of healing after abortion. Father Frank is a Catholic priest of the Diocese of Amarillo, Texas, and carries out his pro-life mission with the permission of his bishop. For more information on Father Frank and Priests for Life, visit www.priestsforlife.org. Gospel of Life program is made possible by the supporters of Gospel of Life Ministries and Priests for Life. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of stopping abortion and providing post-abortion healing. Specific outreaches mentioned are examples of the programs conducted and supported. Gifts are considered to be without use restriction unless specifically stipulated by the donor.